Okay, we'll call to order the council meeting for April 22nd. Everybody would rise for the pledge.
The flag, the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all.
Prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body. May you guide us tonight. Amen.
We have a roll call.
Mr. Mayor.
Here.
Mr. Brink.
Here.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Mr. Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
President Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Okay, next is approval of minutes from the April 8th meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Clark. Any discussion or?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yeah.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yep.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay. Next, petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Being none, we will move on to committee reports. Public Safety, Councilman Chapman?
No report.
Environmental Management, Councilman Clark?
Yeah, we did have a solid waste management meeting this morning. And in our compost, we have two additional others. So there's five now that got their bids in for cleaning up the compost pile in the back of the girls' softball diamond out on Old Tower Holt Road. And these are subject to, some of them will grind and not haul away, and others won't grind. So it's it ranges in the area of from $61,000 to $167,000. Dollars to do that. Also, Sanborn requested assistance for their town cleanup held on April 13th, and good crowd on hand and a good turnout. And Solid Waste District did approve to give Sanborn $975. There are five quotes received for cleanup of the compost pile in back of the girls' softball diamond on Old Terre Haute Road, and again, the quotes range from $61,000 to $167,000. That's it.
Thank you. Next is Budget and Finance, Councilman Brown.
No report, Mayor.
Real quick, just under that, you've got the. I've laid in front of you copies of Greencastle and Terre Haute contracts that they have with the trash. So you guys want those. Okay, Planning, Zoning, Community Development.
No report.
Tourism Promotion, City Councilwoman Rose.
I'm supposed to tell everybody to go vote on May the 7th.
For the pool.
For the pool.
A Legislative Review, Councilman Sebring.
No report.
City Services, Councilman Salters.
No report.
Any report of city officers? Being none, there is no old business. We'll move to new business. First up is Ordinance 3-2013, Additional Appropriations Edit, $3,000. SME Brownfield Grant, $1,745.
Make a motion to have first reading on Ordinance 3-2013.
Second.
A motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Clark, to read Ordinance 3-2013.
Ordinance 3-2013, Additional Appropriation Ordinance containing Section 1 and Section 2, transferring, appropriating money from Edit Fund for Chamber Building Rental and $3,000, the SME Brownfield Grant for Pocket Park Buildings on Main Street, $1,745.
Is the $3,000 for the rent, is that for the whole year?
6 months.
6 months?
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 3-2013 passes first reading with a 7-0 vote. Next is ordinance 4-2013, amending Schedule II of Chapter 75, parking schedule. No parking on the southeast side of South Fifth Street from Main Street to the alley.
Make a motion to have first reading on ordinance 4-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Brink, to read ordinance 4-2013.
Ordinance 4-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, amending Chapter 75, parking schedule, code of ordinances, include no parking on the southeast side of South Fifth Street from Main Street to the alley. Been approved by the Vincennes after a 90-day trial. Created unequal problems that have to be incorporated into the code of ordinances.
Any discussion?
What's the purpose of it?
It's to limit parking on the southeast side of Fifth Street.
I know that.
But it's, Phil, if you want to come up and tell, it was merchants that requested this because of traffic, their mirrors were getting broken.
What was your question?
Well, I just wondered why it was proposed.
Okay, there's parking on both sides. And people coming off of Main, going south on Fifth, and there's cars parked on both sides, is getting their mirrors knocked off, and minor accidents. And some people on Main Street, some of them would have to back up to let vehicles come, going north on Fifth Street. And there was some...
Actually, was it the request of a couple merchants that this be changed?
Pardon me?
It was at the request of a couple merchants.
Yes, yeah, be changed. And it was a, I went down there, and that, I think on 4th Street, it's like 35 feet wide, but on 4th Street, or 5th Street, it's like 30 feet wide. So there's 5-foot difference in the width of the 5th Street. And that was a problem with two vehicles, especially when they meet each other. And they're parking on both sides, so the merchants, asked if we could have no parking from the Main Street to the alley. And also, the funeral home, there is a sign there, if they're having a service that day, they're, they can park on that side on, when they're having a service. So other than that, I believe Bryce, the street department, painted it yellow for a 90-day trial, and it sounds like it's working out real good.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Wait a minute.
Pardon?
Are you talking about the street there by the funeral home?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was on the other side of the street. Okay.
No, that's the southeast side. Now, they're still parking on the...
On the other side.
Other side, so and eliminating one side there, it's got to help, because that street is 5 foot narrow than 4th Street. And when two vehicles are coming, there's parking on both sides, somebody's going to have to back up, and that was a problem. And I went down there, and during the day, during business hours, it was a problem. So, and it was, people got their mirrors knocked off, and we did try 30 feet back from Main Street, but it was still a problem. So, and merchants asked me to approach you and the Board of Works, and they approved a 90-day trial. So, and I believe it's the best thing to do, just other than a funeral service.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes, with reservation.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Ordinance 4-2013 passes first reading with a 7-0 vote. Next is ordinance 5-2013, additional appropriation to pay BLN invoice $110,284.
Make a motion to have first reading on ordinance 5-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chatten to read ordinance 5-2013.
Ordinance 5-2013, additional appropriation ordinance. This is from edit for various invoice, total amount of $110,284. Another claim that was processed by the RDC, but that claim should have been paid. These are old invoices. BLN.
Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to read something.
Okay.
Okay. I would like to say a few words to my fellow, I'm going to read this so I don't miss anything, and I want to say it right. I would like to say a few words to my fellow city councilmen who are, and to those sitting here tonight and those listening on the radio, about the editorial that was in the paper yesterday, in which it stated that the city council should have requested a draft of a letter for review, and the city council president should have been asked to be copied on said letter to BLM to cease and desist on the overpass project. As you all know, during the Baldwin administration, the city council had their own attorney to whom we referred to for legal advice, and that person happens to be David Rolligan, who now serves as Mayor Joe Yocum's city attorney. On March the 23rd, 2011, on the front page of the Sun Commercial, it is printed that Merrill Baldwin did state that he will recess the project to focus on funding. At the same meeting and in the same paper article, City Councilman Scott Brown also told them we were taking a recess and not approving any more claims. After we continued to receive invoices, I personally called Council Attorney Rolligan at two separate times on behalf of the City Council and asked him to call BLM about these invoices. At no time did they tell them a letter should be written to cease and desist. Is that true, Mr. Rolligan? The first time, pardon?
They didn't mention that on the times I spoke with them.
The first time this came up was when President Mayor Joe Yocum took office, and he was advised to write a letter, and he passed this info on to the city council. I suggest that the Board of Works should have weighed in on this ordeal and made sure Baldwin wrote the letter. They were appointed by Mayor Baldwin and served on his branch of government. I believe that Mr. Rolligan will also tell you that the City Council was never in a position to fire a professional service contractor hired by the mayor. Thank you.
I'd also like to weigh in some comments on this. And I told Mayor Yocum that I'm not directing any of these comments toward him, but I've expressed concern about the Board of Works in general before. The Board of Works can go in and to an agreement on a contract, and if that contract costs more than it originally had been planned to, the council's held responsible. To me, there's no responsibility upon the Board of Works to make sure that the money is there. It's supposed to be there, but if the contract goes south, in essence, the council's responsible for coming up with the funds. To me, if there's a contract, that the city signs, the council should be involved in it. And I'm sure state law protects the Board of Works. I don't know why. Because we're the ones that are responsible for the financial end of it. And anytime you sign a contract, there's a financial obligation that typically goes with it. When you get into these contracts, like the mayor presented us with some contracts on trash removal. Well, we're going to have to do our due diligence, but if we don't like what is some of the language in the contract, the Board of Works, they can still go ahead and sign that contract. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. Now, would it create tensions between the council and the Board of Works and the mayor? Yes, but at the same time, the seven of us would be held accountable, apparently, by people who don't understand that we're the ones that would have to meet the financial obligations for this. And that's a lot of what happened. These engineering contracts, for some reason, they turn into big, big ticket items. And there's a lot of language in there. I think that this issue we're dealing with on BLN, at least in my opinion, reaffirms my decision to budget for this year for a city engineer. I honestly think when you're dealing with these engineering companies that you need somebody that's looking out for the city's best interest, that understands their terminology, their language, the cost. If we have somebody representing our interest, then they can go in and say, we don't need this section, and we don't need this section, and we don't need this section. There are no engineers sitting in this room, from my knowledge, unless somebody's got an engineering degree that I'm not familiar with. But we're just not engineers, and these are big ticket items. They go through the Board of Works. There's a lot of language in there, and for us to contest it, as in this case, to contest the appropriation from BLN, I think we might have a good chance to win in court, but we're going to exhaust a lot more funds than we really need to. At this point, this is not really a risk that I'm willing to take, that we could win this case, because if we lost, we could be out a lot more than the $110,284. So, like I said, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way that the Board of Works can go into an agreement with an engineering firm, and then with the council having no input, and then all of a sudden we have to come up with the money after they send us these six-figure bills, which are very commonplace amongst engineering firms. And, like I said, I feel we have to pay it. We will end up in court. We could exhaust a lot of attorney's fees, I just don't think that's a risk that we need to be taking right now.
Well, just two points. One, besides the personalities involved, past council, this council, previous mayor, this mayor, Indiana, city government, county government is our creations of state government. And in Indiana, we have a strong mayor, weak council system. I mean, by definition, if you examine the relationship powers. We know what we're restricted to, basically passing ordinances and adopting the budget. And even the budget is driven by whoever's in the mayor's office, because we can decrease it, but the state very much restricts us increasing it. Anyway, all I'm trying to describe is that's the system that we operate under, and it's sometimes a clumsy system. So I just wanted to get that point out. But beyond that, I just want to make sure we got a study. You know, as I understand it, these remaining bills were for the completion of an engineering study, and so we really haven't had much discussion about did we indeed get a study. I mean, certainly it hasn't been shared with me. And so if we did get a study, as I understood Mayor Baldwin, I don't mean to speak for him, but as I understood Mayor Baldwin's contention is he wanted the company to complete a study, so at least for the previous investment we had made, we would have something on the shelf at the end of the day. Whether we agreed with that or not, that's sort of irrelevant now. But so do we have a study? I'm asking the question. Do we have a study, an engineering study on a proposed railroad overpass?
I think his intention was to get it through design, and no, it was not completed through design.
But we have at least a preliminary engineering study with this.
I can take you back in this room, and there are four large boxes of binders of
stuff.
Information that I looked at and couldn't understand, and Cheryl's got a jump drive with a bunch of information. And
well,
we have to, and it's, we asked for everything that they had done on this project and that it be delivered here. That's what they showed up with.
Okay, well,
so
may not be in the form.
I don't have any idea if that's
it should be, but my point, first of all, we want to make sure we got something for
right.
the money, even if we have no intention of doing something with it in the short term. But beyond that, and there have been instances in past where an administration changes one mayor to another, and entire files are removed. And I think that whenever something is purchased for the city, it should continue from one administration to another. We do not know what the future holds. I said many, many months, years ago, when this was being debated, that if projections that existed at that time, I've not looked at them since, but if projections that existed then came true and the economy rebounded and freight trends continued as they are projected to, that we could have many, many, many more trains come through Vincennes than we do today. So all I'm saying is that may not come true, but who knows what the future holds, but maybe two, three administrations down the road. If that situation would occur, people might say, gosh, was there ever a study done on a proposed railroad overpass? And I would hope, even though it might have to be updated, that from administration to administration, these studies would be passed down, so we at least might be a little bit ahead of the curve. So, A, we've established there is a study, and so B, I would just ask that that material be preserved in whatever archives or manner that the city have, whether that be through the clerk treasurer's office or whatever, so that it could be something that could be pulled off the shelf and perhaps it would have some use down the road. So, you know, no one wants, I guess, to pay this $110,000.
Right.
I think we have a consensus on that, but could it be of some value down the road? Possibly.
Be rest assured, Dwayne, if somebody decided they wanted to bring this up again, there would be another engineering firm.
I know
that saying all of that material in the back room is outdated and it is not any good, and that's why they need to start sending those six-figure bills to us again.
But Scott, when we're 90 years old and still on the council, we could remind them that there's a box
somewhere
in City Hall
in a box.
And the Board of Works will say, that's not your problem. We're the ones that sign the contracts. Let us deal with it. You guys just figure out how to pay for this if this goes south.
I understand.
I just have a couple of different things here. And first of all, I wasn't on the council at that particular time. However, unfortunately, I don't share Mr. Brown's optimism in the fact that we would win the lawsuit. I don't think we would. I said this from early on. It was not on the council to notify BL, whoever, BLN. I get all my BLs mixed up here anymore. It was on the previous administration, and if the previous administration did not send the letter as he was instructed to by this council, then BLN, they're still eligible for their money. I mean, it's not on BLN to do what the city council says, because it's not the council who signed it over. And I agree with you that we're on the hook for it now because of something the administration or Board of Works, previous Board of Works did. I agree with that, but I don't share your optimism that we would win. I don't think we would.
Never underestimate the power of how much money you throw at an attorney in a lawsuit either.
and never underestimate the weird rules of the state of Indiana. That being said, is this it? Is this finally the last bill that this we're going to see from BLN on either Second Street or the railroad overpass?
Unless they say that in this contract that the Board of Works signed with BLN, that on page 18, section B, paragraph 3, you owe us this.
Yeah.
Then we might be liable. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's my whole point.
I've asked the TJ.
I can assure you that in the 1st of January, a cease and desist letter was sent to BLN on both projects, so they were doing no more work. So if there was an invoice out there, it hasn't made it here yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Call for the question on first reading.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chat?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Clark, I'm sorry. Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
The OGF hearing we'll have to do on this with 10-day notice.
Yeah, next meeting.
You know, the funny thing is, it's well, not exactly funny. BLN was in here. I was on the council, and so were about three or four others. They were in here every night. And every time we were paying a bill, and they were here just to get a bill paid, nothing ever came up about this at all. Nothing. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're, you know, we can say no just like they can say yes, you know. But I tell you, they were here, you know, just like hogs at feeding time. And I mean that sincerely. And I know one of the guys in on that. He's a hometowner. I haven't seen him here forever. And I won't mention his name. Everybody knows who it is. And I'll tell you, they were in for one thing, and it's this. You know, they would not tell you you made a mistake, or they wouldn't bring it up. But now all of a sudden they found one someplace along the line. But the way things are going right now, I wouldn't pay it until it's all cleared up, and I don't care how long the bellyache. You know, you can use all my cuss words if you want to. I really don't care, because I just think we were, pardon my English, screwed, blued, and tattooed.
Yes. Well, Ordinance 5-2013 passes first reading by a 7-0 vote. And I guess you will have a public hearing on the May 13th council meeting.
Yes.
And you have to have a hearing on the Ordinance 3-2013 also?
Yes.
Okay. Next is claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in the amount of $318,399.59.
Second.
Motion by President Rowe, second by Councilman Sebring. To pay the claims.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, claims are paid by a vote of 7. We have nothing under miscellaneous.
Oh, just one quick reminder item. May 4th from 10 to 2 in Vincennes is going to be Knox County Recycling Day. And out at the Red Skelton Performing Arts Center parking lot, we're going to have e-cycling, anything electronic that's been cluttering up your garage or back porch or whatever, bring it in. You can bring it all in for free. The only thing they ask is that if you bring in a television monitor or a computer monitor, they ask for $5 for processing. But all that, believe me, last time we did this, it was incredible what people found in their garage or wherever that they just didn't know how to get rid of because it was an electronic item, and a lot of that stuff contaminates the landfill. So this is your chance. 10 to 2, Red Skelton Performing Arts Center parking lot on May 4th. Then Klein Realty in the same day down at his side lot, 7th Street, is going to have paper shredding. Doing a Prana paper shredder there. So if you got documents that need to be shredded for security or whatever, this is a secure way to shred those documents, and that's all free of charge. You can also bring medications to Klein Realty that day. There'll be a proper disposal of medications. They're doing an entirely big operation up at the Tilley Estates in Bicknell. It's going to last all day starting at 9 a.m. And another opportunity for people in Bicknell to get rid of lots of stuff. But this is, we'll clean up Vincennes, believe me. Of course, I think that's the same day that Tony Burkhart's doing his cleanup day. So it all kind of works together to clean up Vincennes. So come on.
Also,
same day as the go-kart race.
I was going to say October, May the 4th and 5th is the CASA golf cart or go-kart races.
Okay.
Golf cart, go-kart. If you want to race your golf cart, go ahead. That'd be kind of fun to watch. And it'll be held at Gregg Park this year. So come out and support CASA. Court-appointed special advocate.
Very good. I join Council President Rose in encouraging everyone to get out and vote May 7th on the pool.
Nothing else. We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.